You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live on the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yep, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Time now, 2:06 p.m. on March the 30th. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, bud.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I noticed, outside. I'm ready to go.
I noticed that you and I apparently decided to wear the same clothes today.
We did. So, we did the same color.
If you wear your olive drab shirt, I'll wear mine too.
That's right. That's what we were texting this morning, right?
All right. Good to see you. Good to be with you. We got a great show laid on for you. So we're going to spend some time today kind of unpacking the way that that school shooting in Nashville was taken down. Jared Hudson, who's been on the show multiple times, he's a former Navy SEAL who now teaches police departments and military units on aspects of, like, you know, firearms and room clearing and clearing a building, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk to Jared Hudson, get his take on how that went down. Obviously, it was successful. It's being touted as one of the most successful we've ever seen. But we want to hear an expert talk through it also and just get his thoughts on it and what we can do differently, if anything at all. That being said, we got a ton of stuff. So that's at 3:30, by the way, with Jared Hudson. You're not going to want to miss that. And then this triple dipper is just full. So hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. I mean, literally, we've got stuff that's like just like in the weeds good. Like, number one, when free isn't free. All right. So we're gonna talk through the variety of things that make us a free nation. And oh, by the way, what are we seeing right now, literally seeing and experiencing out of the Biden administration, who doesn't seem to get the fact that we have a Bill of Rights? I'm going to break them down to you story by story. Number one on the triple dipper, when free isn't free. Number two, in conjunction with that conversation with Jared Hudson, the former Navy SEAL, hard targets. We're going to call that one hard targets. Taking a look at what does it take to harden up a school without turning it into a prison, so to speak. What does it take to make a hard target out of a soft target? And what can we do to also respond accordingly when there's an issue? So number two on the triple dipper, hard targets. And then number three, you've been tracking the stuff on AI? Wow. Yeah, AI is a little weird right now, and AI is getting a lot of attention. And I'm just going to call this one again for the second time. Skynet is here. So there's that. All right, Skynet is here. Number three on the triple dipper. Let me jump over to my comments, though, and I will start with two things. Number one, it's been a tragic day. This is an aside, not part of my monologue. It's been a tragic day at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where nine of our service members died when two Black Hawk helicopters crashed during a training event. I watched part of the briefing this morning. Not a lot known yet. Fort Rucker's disaster response team is headed out right now to inspect and evaluate the situation and see what's what. But we'll talk about that in more detail later on. We know it, but right now, just a tragedy. We've lost some of our nine of our service members in a tragic accident in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And then on top of that, before I get any further down the road, I want to make sure I point out something that I overlooked yesterday. March 29th, yesterday, was Vietnam Veterans Day. My father and grandfather both served in Vietnam, and that day is set aside to remember and thank the over 9 million people who served there and the families who supported them. So from all of us at Right Side Radio to the veterans of the Vietnam War, thank you and welcome home. Well, listen, let me jump into my full comments, though. So it's funny, you know, how some things just sound old and out of date, right? They're old. They become objects of scorn just for being relics of a different age. Even advertising campaigns can kind of create that old school ain't as good as new school sentiment. Remember the ad that used to run as, "This isn't your grandfather's Buick?" Yeah, see? Or what about the effort in the 80s to move to New Coke? Yeah, that didn't work out too well. Or what about Kentucky Fried Chicken rebranding itself as KFC? I guess it's sportier, I don't know. But okay, here's a flash from the past. Some of you are familiar, but some of you will think this sounds super old-fashioned, and maybe it is. You ever heard of Good Housekeeping Magazine. Good Housekeeping Magazine. You might ask, what is that? Well, is it some throwback to a bygone era? Is it read by dutiful wives who vacuum the house wearing pearls and bring their husband his newspaper and pipe as he recoups from a long day at the office? June Cleaver taking time from baking her fresh apple pie and dusting the furniture and sitting down at the kitchen table to peruse the recipes and recommended ways to do laundry in the pages of Good Housekeeping Magazine? Well, truth is yes, that's exactly what Good Housekeeping Magazine has been known for, partially. What you may not know, though, is this old-fashioned tome of how best to keep house, it's still around. It's still here. After 135 years, Good Housekeeping Magazine is still out there and going strong. It's got feature stories on, you know, human interest and the best hacks for cleaning and cooking and making your house a home. But somewhere along the way, though, they found another niche. And that niche became known as the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Now, does that sound archaic and old school, too? Maybe, until you realize what it is. Apparently, around 1900, the founders of Good Housekeeping Magazine decided they needed to provide a service and not just a good read on good ideas. So the Good Housekeeping Institute was formed, and originally it was called the Good Housekeeping Experiment Station. They test products for safety, breakability, reliability, pricing, and after passing the tests, if they pass the tests, that product is given the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval, giving the consumer the understanding that a third party has now reviewed that product and providing some evidence that a standard exists that's held the product manufacturer to some measure of accountability. They did this years ahead of the formation of the Food and Drug Administration or the Federal Trade Commission. They got out there first. They identified hazards of smoking like a decade before the Surgeon General put labels on cigarettes. The Good Housekeeping Institute in the present day is actually an 18,000-square-foot state-of-the-art facility in Manhattan. They test everything from the longest-lasting lipsticks and the safest baby gear to top-performing appliances for your home and the latest electronic gadgets. Doesn't sound so old-fashioned now, does it? My whole point here is not to provide some like free advertising for Good Housekeeping Magazine, but rather my point is to show you that sometimes what sounds old and dusty from days of yore, it may actually be a thing that still bears out its usefulness even today. Even to the extent that it may be something that, if it was gone, we'd find out how crucial it was to our very way of life. And in this case, I'm flipping the gears to say that same sentiment applies to the U.S. Constitution. There's a lot of talk from today's left wing about that old, archaic, out-of-date document the Founding Fathers spent so much time on. Between the original Constitution and its first 10 amendments that we call the Bill of Rights, that old piece of paper has preserved the ability of people in this country to remain free of the tyranny that the founders had known about firsthand. They were way ahead of their time, establishing the notion that what was most important in a free society was the ability of individuals to have rights, actual rights, to keep them free. And free, mind you, not just from other people, but from their own government. Free to think and express themselves independently. Free to know they cannot be held against their will without due process. Free to know they can worship as they see fit. Free to move about, raise their families, earn a living. Free to not just survive, but thrive. And that one old dusty archaic document written in old school King James style language, it's been the standard that any encroachments on those freedoms are always held to for 200 plus years. But the left would have you believe it's just a document that's easily malleable. It's to be manipulated or interpreted by today's whims, subject to enforcement based on the notions of whoever's in charge. They argue, it was written for a different time. It's old and out of date. Why should the living be bound by the notions of those who are dead? But yet, that's really what all laws are, right? They're standards enacted by a process for a reason, and they cannot be thrown out just because one agenda finds them to be inconvenient. Just yesterday, in the wake of the school shooting in Nashville, President Biden said once again, just an amazingly callous and indifferent kind of statement, speaking out against the Second Amendment, that no amendment is absolute. Okay. On the one hand, he's correct. It's also a stupid thing to say, especially as the leader of the free world. The Bill of Rights is not something you just cast aside when someone gets a notion. Your Constitution is not like the leisure suits of the 70s or tail fins on a 50s automobile that all go out of fashion and disappear. This is about freedom. And Joe Biden, of all people, knows that the means to amend the Constitution is by 220 years has been difficult and made difficult on purpose. 27 amendments have been added in the entire time the Constitution has been around. Just 27. Six times there were attempts to amend it that failed. A two-thirds majority of Congress has to approve an amendment, which must then be ratified by three-quarters of the states. Its design was meant to be difficult to undo, and in 40 years in D.C., Joe Biden never once tried to have the Second Amendment removed from the Bill of Rights. He knows better, and he knows it's a heavy lift. He needs to quit making inane comments like that. Freedom should not be based on political expediency or cultural whims and fads. As a conservative, we typically believe this document from days gone by should be strictly or narrowly construed, that there should be a sense of originalism in its application, that courts should use judicial restraint in reviewing matters based on the text of the document itself, that a high degree of scrutiny should be applied to constitutional questions. You see, standards matter. Laws matter. The Constitution matters. And it's good to know that if you want to buy a brand of appliance or figure out which TV has the best quality, you can look for the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. It provides protection, reassurance, confidence, and hopefully means that you and yours are better off because, you know, somebody went before you and put it to the test, and it stood up under their scrutiny. But the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, since 1789, it's our free society's seal of approval. If something passes constitutional muster, then we can be more assured that we are protected and able to confidently move forward. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, don't let the bogus argument, well, you can amend the Constitution, there's no such thing as an absolute amendment. Shut up. The reality is this. If you want to make a change in 40 years in D.C., you could have tried to make a change. But you didn't, because you know it. You can't do it. And the truth of the matter is, it shouldn't be easy, because freedoms should never be something that can be arbitrarily done with the stroke of a pen. Yay or nays, no. It's got a process, and we got to stick with it. And that old document, it's worth preserving. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Fighting off a head cold. It's all your fault, Boomer.
It's my fault.
I don't mind blaming you. It's just there. Oh my gosh.
We're in the room together. I brought the cold in.
You did. It's all your fault. I have a feeling I'll be using the cough button multiple times today. Well, hey, listen, we got a ton of stuff going on. I got to tell you, the text lines are open, and some of people are already jumping on them, brother. I mean, I'm just, wow. So 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it on in. Call it on in. If you're calling in, try to stay on topic. If you're texting, you can text what you want and know that I'll get to them when I can. I can look over here right now. Allie from Athens just texted in. Cough button. Allie from Athens just texted in and said, Senator, you are one wonderfully sneaky operative. Who knew that Good Housekeeping magazine could be parlayed into a plea to keep the Constitution as written? Well done. good stuff. Kimball from Harvest texted in and says, our founding fathers knew firsthand what tyranny was and is. They were visionary and ahead of their time. They also didn't agree on everything, but they came together for the greater good of America with the God-given rights of generations to come first and foremost in mind. Oh, well written, Kimball. Man, that's a heck of a text. We needed to print that one off and frame it. JT from Lacey Springs says, the Constitution is the experience of our ancestors, just like Dad saying, don't touch your tongue to the frozen flagpole. Experience talking. Yes. Yeah. If I tell you, don't stick your tongue on the frozen flagpole, just take my word for it. Don't stick your tongue on the frozen flagpole. What else we got here? Jeff from Green Hill just texted in and says, I believe this trans stuff, meaning the transgender activism stuff, is a smokescreen to hide what's going on, such as the Restrict Act. Stand by, Jeff. I'm about to talk about the Restrict Act here in just a minute. Yeah, if you're not familiar with that one, I caught wind of it last night. Fox, I think it was Jesse Waters was interviewing Lindsey Graham and was pretty much given Lindsey Graham what for. And I was like, what is he talking about here? The Restrict Act. Apparently, Lindsey Graham signed on to be a co-sponsor to this bill that we'll talk about here in just a minute that does not look like something anybody who calls himself a Republican or a freedom lover should ever want to do, not the least of which is the fact that not only is he a senator, but, you know, Lindsey Graham is supposed to be an Air Force JAG officer, meaning he's got a law degree and he's, you know, served in the military. So, Lindsey Graham, what are you doing? So we'll talk about that in detail. Yeah, Jeff, thanks very much. Then Leanne from Huntsville just texted us a picture. Someone holding up a maple bacon donut and says, feel better, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Leanne. I appreciate that very much. So we got plenty of stuff to talk about. Phone lines again, 833-687-4448. And then on top of that, I got to point out something that I get reminded that I don't do enough is that our website, rightsideradio.org, has all our stuff on it. So, yeah, I mentioned it once in a while, but I don't think I've ever unpacked for you how much is on there. So, yes, there's a place on there where you can watch the live stream. You can see inside the studio as we're talking on the mics. You've also got the ability to pick up just the live feed in case you're getting outside of the overly broad range of our AM/FM capabilities. And then there's also one of the things we've been doing for about the last week. Down at the bottom of the live stream page, you hear me rattle paper on. We do a lot of resourcing for the show. We prepare in advance to come on and talk to you. But now there's a resource button. So if I'm rattling a piece of paper on Triple Dipper number 2 or whatever it is, you can go to the resource button, scroll down to Triple Dipper number 2 and get the links to the exact same story in case it's one you're thinking, man, I got to read that one or I got to send that to a friend or whatever. They're all on there. So yeah, I tell you, this show is, I mean, we got a mission here, man. This is no fooling. Boomer and I, we could be doing other things in our life. And we chose to do this because we got what we call the mission and the message. And every single day that mission is I want to do what I call the 4 E's. I want to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you with what it means to be a conservative walking around in today's world. If that means putting these resources in your hands, I'll do it. But then that's the mission. It's the message that drives everything we do. I mean, literally, the message is every single day on the show, I want you to know that this show stands for Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama's beautiful, and oh, by the way, life is worth living. And that's the reason why I think the audience keeps growing and we keep adding on, and we appreciate you. We do not take it for granted. And like I said, Boomer and I, we sit here, we're on a mission. Mission ready. Boom.
Mission ready.
Mission ready. All right, well, we're about to go take a break right now. We'll be coming back in a minute, and we're going to be diving right into Triple Dipper number 1, When Free Isn't Free. I just, you know, when I was resourcing the show this morning, I was just sitting there thinking, good gosh, that's another violation of the Second Amendment. Good gosh, that's another violation of the First Amendment. And the First Amendment again. And, oh, by the way, the Fourth Amendment. And then I kept looking down going, no, this is wrong. And I realized when free isn't free is when you think you're free, but you're allowing them to get away with constant encroachments on your freedom. No, then it gets costly. We'll talk about it coming right back. Number 1 on the Triple Dipper, When Free Isn't Free. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and Just Plain Right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about from way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back on over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia and Tennessee, and even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. I'm about to jump into my triple dipper, but I got to tell you, there's a couple of news stories that are just wow. Like, I'm just saying, these are just wow. So here we are, just a few days after a school shooting in which a transgender individual went into a school, killed three babies, basically, three nine-year-olds, and three other adults. It's going to come out, but I believe we're going to find out that this was a lashing out at a Christian school because of the effort by Tennessee lawmakers to deal with transgender activism through the treatments on minors and all that. And guess what happens today? I mean, right after the shooting, President Biden says it's gun control that's got to be done. And he says the Second Amendment, oh, by the way, is not absolute. That's his response to babies being killed in their school. And then today, this just beats all I've ever seen, man. Today, Biden has issued a new proclamation. Story just came up on Fox News in the last hour. Biden says transgender people help shape our nation's soul and issued a day or official proclamation naming tomorrow the Transgender Day of Visibility. Shut the heck up. The Transgender Day of Visibility. And the Second Amendment is not immutable. How about this? Here's an idea. Maybe take a week, catch your breath, and honor the victims of the school shooting before you rush out there to pander to the very minor, small community in this United States who appear to have one of their members at fault. There's an idea. Wow. The Transgender Day of Visibility. Ooh, because they shape our nation's soul. Yes, because certainly it was transgenders who planted the flag on top of Iwo Jima, Mount Surat. But was it not? Yeah, I'm just looking at it going, wow. Where does it end? Where does this end? Hopefully it ends in 2024. That's what I got to say. Hopefully in 2024, we're through with this mess. It takes a lot for me to get to the point that I just want to just throw up my hands and maybe throw up on the floor. But the truth be told, this is ridiculous. All right. Catch me, Boomer. I'm about to spin out of control, bro. You better find that mute button. Boomer's got two major buttons over there on his desk. One sends us to break on schedule with all our stations. The other one is the dump button in case something bad gets said. And he's got 8 seconds to hit that red button and dump it. What was the other major story? Oh, the other major story is we just found out this morning that a Wall Street Journal reporter has been arrested in Russia and accused of spying for the United States. Right. So we're going to find out how this goes down. But right now, this is the first time since the Cold War era, I believe, that we've had someone arrested in the former Soviet Union and accused of spying. But that's where we are right now. That's where we are in our relationship with Russia. Now, granted, we are funding the war that they're trying to fight when they invaded Ukraine. I get it. They're aggravated with us. This is a bad step, though. This is a bad, maybe an overstep. And you got to watch in intense environments, you got to watch missteps like this. They're testing the Biden administration to see what they can get away with. And they're testing hard. And thus far, I don't think Biden is really measuring up. So we'll keep you posted on those two stories. You know what? I probably won't talk any more about the Transgender Day of Visibility. But I will say this. Antifa has declared Saturday to be the Transgender Day of Vengeance, whatever that means. I did also see, too, that Daily Wire pundit and conservative host Matt Walsh, he canceled a speech in Virginia because of threats against his family. Said that he felt like his family had to come first. He was going to stay home and be with his family because not that they were going to come to the speech area. They were threatening his family. So I'm just telling you, man, this is where we're at. But it ain't going to work. Brian from Huntsville just texted in and said the flip side of Russia's 2112 album, which I love, by the way, says the song, "You Don't Get Something for Nothing." The lyric is, "Oh, you don't get something for nothing. You don't get freedom for free." Thank you, Brian, for that deep cut from Rush's 2112 album. One of my favorite albums, by the way. Rita from Scottsboro says, does the Transgender Day of Visibility have anything to do with the Transgender Day of Rage? It was a vengeance is what you're thinking of, Rita. And she says, I think we've already seen that Monday. Yeah, we did from one person, but they were calling for organized events, telling people to show up with masks in D.C. and that kind of stuff. All right, we'll keep you posted on it. In the meantime, let me jump over to the Triple Dipper. So here the deal is, when free isn't free, I am looking at legislation, I'm looking at government action, and I'm looking at investigations right now by Republicans in D.C. that are just basically blowing the socks off of anyone who believes that there are not encroachments on our constitutional liberties. If you think for a second that our constitutional liberties are just, you know, we're just fine, everything's fine, wake up, wake up. So here's the first one. We got the text a moment ago. Jeff from Green Hill had texted in about something called the Restrict Act. Well, last night when I was watching TV, I saw Jesse Waters had Senator Lindsey Graham on the show and was wearing him out. I mean, like wearing him out and for co-sponsoring a bill. And what was funny was that Lindsey Graham was caught off guard. He's like, Jesse, I'm going to have to go review that. And he said, Senator, your name's on it. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, yeah, but I'm, you know what? You're telling me things about it I didn't know were in there. Well, Senator, you co-sponsored it. Now, I've seen that happen before, by the way. I had a standing rule in Montgomery. And by the way, our bills were, generally speaking, much shorter than what you see in D.C. But I had a standing rule. People would always come to me and say, hey, man, you want to co-sponsor my bill? What is it? Oh, it does this, this, and this. Really? If I liked the tone of it, I'd say, yeah, I want to read it first, though. Oh, well, I got to drop it in now. Well, you want me to drop it in with my name on it without me reading it? And I would just say no. So I mean, there were times when they were so short, I could just say, hand it to me real quick, and I'll bring it back to you. And I would read through it, and I go, yeah, this is good. Or, yeah, no way. But standing rule, know what's in it before you put your name on it. So the Restrict Act, what is that? Well, the Restrict Act is being called by PJ Media to be a Trojan horse. The Restrict Act makes the what's the one from the right after 9/11? The Freedom Act. I'm having a brain cramp. Cold medicine. So I'm gonna do that all day long, Bimmer. When I forget what I'm trying to say, I'll just yell cold medicine. It's like squirrel. but the Restrict Act is ostensibly designed, according to this article, to help protect Americans from TikTok. Yeah, TikTok. You know, TikTok, that silly little video thing where people give a whole lot of their personal data and allow themselves to be monitored, and who knows what other Trojan horses are embedded in it, some kind of, you know, internet worms or things that get into your systems and hack your data. All right, owned by the Chinese government. It's bad. It's got spyware. It's masquerading as fun, but it's spyware. But the Restrict Act goes a whole lot further than ever just dealing with TikTok. I mean, if you want to deal with TikTok, just say, if you're built by the Chinese, we're not going to use you on a government phone. Just say it. But the Restrict Act goes literally, the article points out, after anyone whom the powers that be deem to be a threat, anyone, not any government or agency or thing. And the determination, believe it or not, if the bill was to pass, would be made by the Secretary of Commerce. Secretary of Commerce. So here's the actual verbiage of the legislation. It says, in general, the secretary, in consultation with the relevant executive department, which could be, by the way, the FBI, the DOJ, anybody, and agency heads, is authorized to and shall take to action to identify, deter, disrupt, prevent, prohibit, investigate, or otherwise mitigate, including by negotiating, entering into, or imposing, or enforcing any mitigation measure to address any risk arising from any covered transaction by any person or with respect to any property subject to the jurisdiction of the United States that the secretary determines. And then it goes on to say things like poses an undue risk, creates a harm to others, could have catastrophic effects on security or resilience of critical infrastructure, blah, 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 blah. Basically what it says is this. If the Restrict Act passes, if the Restrict Act were to pass, the Secretary of Commerce would have the ultimate authority to do whatever is necessary to anyone that doesn't meet the narrative they want met. Now, that could be bad things. That could be true espionage. That could be true, dynamic action against critical infrastructure. That could be anything like that. But it could also be those who just spread COVID misinformation or whose cell phone pinged near a tower somewhere in the January 6th riot area. You know what I'm saying? So any number of these things, this is so broad. I mean, when I'm as an attorney, when I'm answering someone's request for information, if I see something that goes way beyond the pale, one of the main objections is overly broad and unduly burdensome. This legislation, y'all, is overly broad and unduly burdensome. I mean, they can do things like they can jump into your technology without a warrant. I'm reading you from the bill. They could take down mobile networks. They can do things that relate to your software, hardware, or other products or services integral to data hosting or computing services, cloud-based systems. I mean, all of it. They can basically get into anything they want to get to. And oh, by the way, guess what? Unlike almost everything else in government, you are not allowed to ask questions. What are you talking about, Phil? You're always allowed to ask questions. This is America. Yeah, my point exactly. This is America. But it literally says in the bill, subparagraph F, there is no right of access to a FOIA request. FOIA, you know, Freedom of Information Act, is inapplicable in this case. The Restrict Act does not need to pass. It does not, and Lindsey Graham should be ashamed for having his name on it without having read it. So if you are aware of how to contact your congressman or U.S. senator, I would. I mean, don't bother the guys in Montgomery. That's your state representatives. Call the ones in D.C. and tell them, the Restrict Act, you have deep concerns. It does not need to pass. Please vote no or table it indefinitely. Who brought this bill? This is one of those where you look at it and go, is this a Democrat? Did Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez come up with this bill? Hey, Boomer, while I'm opining over here, see if you can figure out who's the sponsors of the Restrict Act, all right? Just type in sponsors Restrict Act, see what you get. That's just going to be interesting to see. Actually, you know what, Boom? It is a break time. I'll help you search while I cough with the microphone off. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. We're on number one of the triple dipper. I'm talking about when free isn't free. And that Restrict Act we talked about a moment ago, before I could even finish coughing during the break, Boomer already had us the list of sponsors. Yeah, primary sponsor, Democrat Senator Mark Warner of Virginia and Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. They're both Democrats. And then you got Republicans, some of which are some of the more moderate, like almost Democrats themselves. You got John Thune, Dan Sullivan, Jerry Moran, Mitt Romney, Susan Collins. Gosh, who else? Of course, Lindsey Graham, Tom Tillis, Chuck Grassley. So I look at this list and I go, yeah, okay, bipartisan, but certainly not a list of what I would call conservatives. 11 Republicans, 10 Democrats, 21 sponsors total. That bill needs to die in a pile. It just needs to die in a pile. I'm hoping right now that Lindsey Graham, after he got called out last night on Jesse Waters, went back to the drawing board, called his staff in and said, what in God's name have y'all got me into? And so, and by the way, they know better. I was texting a minute ago. My brother texted in. He's listening to the show, and he says, you know, all those bills are written by, you know, K Street lawyers, and I know they are, but you still got staff. You got to read them. You got to know what you got into. We got some texts that came in. Paula from Lacey Springs helped me with my memory. The Patriot Act. That's what I was trying to think of. The Patriot Act. Yeah. Allie from Athens again says, me thinks that Restrict Act needs to be restricted like yesterday. I totally agree. Brandy from Athens that says, happy Thirsty Thursday. I'm not sure what that means. I guess it's already 5 o'clock somewhere where Brandy is right now. But anyway, thank you, Brandy. Appreciate you. Somebody has texted in and said, isn't tomorrow April Fool's Day? No, that'd be Saturday. That would be the day of transvengeance is April Fool's Day. That makes sense. Hey, by the way, you just texted that in about April Fool's Day. Tell us who you are and where you're from so we can put you in the system. JT from Lacey Springs, here it is. You ready, Boom?
Yeah.
Call the Restrict Act jackassery. Hit the button. Right. That's it. Jackassery. That's exactly what it is. Jeff from Indiana says, you got to remember Lindsey Graham was John McCain's best buddy. Yes, he was. Indeed. Jeff from Green Hill again says, another important thing is that China and Saudi Arabia have made a deal not to use the U.S. dollar. And I agree, man. That's something we got to watch, and it bears more watching. What am I looking at here? I got something. I'll have to get into it. John from Pike Road sent me a series of texts with pictures, and I can't get into it right now. But, John, I will take a look at it during the next break. All right. You want to text in? You're welcome to it. You're welcome to it. The number here, 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. Just text us on in, and we'll take your comments. You're welcome to call in, too. Try to keep it on topic, if you don't mind. Back to the Triple Dipper, when free isn't free. I got a series of stories, all marked up and highlighted for your edification. So the very first one, okay, this is what they do, y'all. This is what they do. Free speech. Let's take that piece of the Bill of Rights. Free speech. Well, the Biden administration has been named as the largest speech censorship operation in recent history. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt is testifying to the House Weaponization Committee, Weaponization of Government Committee, and about the details of a lawsuit that Louisiana AG Jeff Landry and he filed, and it's called Louisiana and Missouri versus Biden and others. They filed it in May of last year. They describe it as what they think is the most important free speech lawsuit of this generation. So they're saying right now that they've had plenty of chances now to do discovery in the last year. It alleges that coordination led to the suppression and censorship of truthful information on a scale never seen before in the history of the United States, using examples like the COVID lab leak theory that was suppressed, the information about COVID vaccinations, Hunter Biden's laptop, and a whole lot more. So the lawsuit is ongoing. Missouri and Louisiana, though, they've been able to gather documents. Their discovery is coming together, and apparently they still feel pretty good about their lawsuit. You know, sometimes as an attorney, I can tell you, you think you got a case until you dig into it and you find out, oh, I didn't see that coming. Or, oh, there's that information I wish I'd had when I filed the suit. But sometimes, though, you get in there and all you do is get confirmed. And apparently that's where Missouri and Louisiana feel they are. They even deposed an FBI agent about the Hunter Biden laptop story, which revealed that, in their words, quote, the FBI deliberately planted false information about hack and leak operations. We know that to be true. That's what the FBI trying to, hey, you know, you might not want to run these stories. If you hear something about a laptop, you might want to steer away from that, man. It might be a hack job by the Chinese. Really? Oh, we'll stay away from that, said the New York Times. The lawsuit has uncovered what they call a censorship enterprise so vast it spans over a dozen significant government institutions like the White House, the CDC, the FBI, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, the National Institutes of Health. It's ridiculous. I mean, Biden said when he came into office he was going to do what he called a whole-of-government approach. Well, by God, he's doing it on things that shouldn't happen, like censorship and limiting your freedom of speech, which is guaranteed to you in the Bill of Rights. So when free isn't free, there's one example right there. When we get back from this next break, though, I got this thing going, man. We're going to do what happened with the issue of due process. What's going on about freedom of the press? What do we have in terms of the right to bear arms? How about the freedom of religion? Or how about this one? Freedom of speech, expression, and the right to peaceably protest. All of those, all of them, are being investigated as having been attacked by the Biden administration. You wait and see. I'm going to lay it out for you nice and clear. That's what we do here. We lay it out for you nice and clear, right down there where the baby goats can get to it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. all you Right Side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio for hour number two. The local, the state, the national, man, I'm telling you, we cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So I'll go to the phones real quick. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. What are you doing, buddy?
I'm sitting home figuring out how to pay for my $4,000 dental bill.
Oh, Lord. Boomer just told me you broke a tooth or something, man.
Yeah, implants apparently are very expensive. I didn't realize how bad, but
brother.
My gosh.
Brother, I am sorry. How's the pain? You doing all right there?
Oh, yeah, no pain. Just the that pain's gone. The other pain's coming.
Oh, the other pain's in your wallet. Man, I'm sorry to hear it. Sorry, buddy. Well, what's on your mind the show? What you got?
Hey, you know, Phil, we don't have any constitutional rights. You only have constitutional rights as long as the executive branch enforces them. A good example of that is that the Alabama had all the gambling stuff going on, and even though it was illegal, because the attorney general didn't prosecute them. So,
that doesn't have anything to do with constitutional rights, but you're right. When the laws are on the books, you're supposed to enforce them.
Yeah, but it's the same branch of government, and that's what I'm saying. It's the courts can declare something, and Congress can tell you something and everything, but as long as the executive branch doesn't enforce those, how do you make the executive branch follow the law?
Well, that's where we are right now, too. I mean, all these articles I've got, the highlight of these articles is the fact that we have a checks and balances in place. At the very least, Republicans, even though it's narrow, they got a narrow majority back. And they're doing what they can right now to draw attention to it. You got to know, if Nancy Pelosi was still in there, we wouldn't hear boo about any of the stuff that I've got today.
Oh, no. But the thing about it is that basically if the executive branch can only guarantee your constitutional rights except for the Second Amendment, and then that's up to you to enforce your constitutional rights because that's the amendment that gives you the power to enforce the rest of them.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, if the laws are on the books, which includes the Constitution, which is the ultimate authority in the land, then yeah, it's got to be enforced. But that's where I tell you what. I mean, I'm not losing heart yet. I get ill over stuff like this Restrict Act they're proposing. But at the very least, we've got people calling them out, and we got the executive is being held accountable by Republicans in the House, and that's we got to keep that up.
Yeah, well, just remember that this country is getting dumber every day, and I'm afraid of that because all you got to do is look around and see what's going on, and
they're still allowed to vote.
The cacristocracy is put in place by people who are in the cacristocracy. I'm afraid
that's true. They put the least competent of individuals into office. But all right, Jeffro, you have a good day, man. Take care of that tooth, and we're sorry you're down, but we hope it goes well. See you, bud.
Thank you, Phil. Have a good one.
Let me go to the next one I got here. So I did, what was the last one? The last one I did dealt with freedom of speech. How about this one? Due process. You have a right under, I think it's the Fourth Amendment, to due process. You cannot be just arbitrarily, you know, stiff-armed or detained or, you know, treated harshly by your government without due process. Have you seen the story? Townhall.com is the one where I grabbed it from, but it's on multiple outlets. So Matt Taibbi is the reporter who was given the opportunity to, you know, get all of the, or one of the reporters given the opportunity to get all of the Twitter files, we call them, and make them public and begin to report on the collusion between the Biden administration and the big social media companies. Matt Taibbi was testifying before Congress the other day. And while he was testifying before Congress, an IRS agent showed up at his door. Is there a coincidence there? It's hard to imagine there's a coincidence there. He has never been told that there's anything wrong with his tax returns. He never had received any prior indication of any issues with his taxes. And yet an agent shows up at his door and indicates that the agent will be back in touch with him soon because he wasn't there. Well, he wasn't there because he was testifying in a way that the administration doesn't like. Now, you may think it's a bean counter. It's somebody from the IRS. The IRS has arrest authority. The IRS has enforcement authority. So an IRS agent coming to your door actually has a badge. So this is not to be taken lightly. You have a right to due process. And for them to show up at your door feels a whole lot like intimidation. Jim Jordan, who is the House Judiciary Committee chairman, he sent a letter to the IRS Commissioner Daniel Werfel and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen demanding answers and documentation about the incident. He wants to know, you know, what the heck? In the letter, he says, in light of the hostile reaction to Mr. Taibbi's reporting among left-wing activists and the IRS's history as a tool of government abuse, the IRS's action could be interpreted as an attempt to intimidate a witness before Congress, and we expect your full cooperation and with our inquiry. Let me remind you, it wasn't so long ago that the IRS was weaponized by the Obama administration. Remember Lois Lerner and the IRS? Think about it. Who was vice president? Oh, that's right, Joe Biden. So maybe somebody learned a little something-something about how he can weaponize arms of government. There's that one. Due process. So now we've gone through free speech, due process. How about freedom of the press? Freedom of the press. Yeah, how about, you know what, and there are times when it may even involve me. I come on here, I'm opining, but what if I have a source that gives me a story? What if I turn it over to another news source? Then I become the source. How does this work? Freedom of the press. Freedom of the press, if you don't have the ability to get the word out, then you don't have the ability to hold people publicly accountable. Do you remember this from 2013? James Rosen, he was a reporter at the time for Fox News. Shocked to find out when court documents made it known that he had been targeted by the FBI because of a story he did, and they had launched an investigation on him to uncover his sources. This was what they called a level of government surveillance on a reporter that was unprecedented in the history of the United States. So the Justice Department came under fire. They had to deal with it. It was a whole lot of hullabaloo, and James Rosen came out okay. But you still look at it and go, wow, how does this happen when we have freedom of the press? Oh, wait a minute. That was during the Obama administration. Oh, wait a minute. Who was the vice president? Joe Biden. Maybe, just maybe, he learned a little something-something about how to weaponize another arm of government. So now you got, I've just kind of gone through them. This is the Biden administration and the previous Obama-Biden administration. We have issues of freedom of speech with censorship. We have issues of freedom of the press. We have issues with freedom related to due process. Well, how about this? How about the right to bear arms? Daily Wire. Karine Jean-Pierre dodges the question on whether Biden's proposed gun ban would lead to confiscation. So in the wake of the school shooting, once again, the Biden administration has leapt to the opportunity to tell you that guns are the problem, not the people who have the guns. It's the criminals, not the instrument in which the criminal used. But White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre refused to answer a question on Wednesday over whether Joe Biden's proposed ban on semi-automatic long guns would lead to the confiscation of millions of American guns. It was a reporter that literally asked the question. Does the president support not just banning the sale and manufacture of semi-automatic weapons, but further than that, actual confiscation? Her response, in classical fashion, I mean, she did break a lot of glass ceilings to get there. Let's make no mistake. She is a glass ceiling breaking press secretary. I mean, I just what else can I say? I mean, what a resume builder. I mean, what did you do to get this job? Well, I'm gay. Great. Come on in. I'm also black. Wow, you can start today. And I'm a female. You get a raise. Karine Jean-Pierre's answer, let me be very clear about the confiscation. Let me be very clear what we're talking about. AR-15s, this assault weapons ban, those are weapons of war. Okay, press her a little bit further. Confiscation, what are you going to do? Her response, she wants to blame it on Congress. She wants to blame it on Republicans. And then she said, he's happy to sign, once that happens, like passing some legislation, once that happens, he's happy to sign legislation that says, okay, we're going to remove assault weapons. And then she caught herself, says, we're going to have an assault weapons ban. Did she mean to say remove? Was it a slip of the tongue? All I know is they are keen on the idea of censorship of your speech. They are keen on the idea of limiting your rights to due process. And they are keen on the idea, oh, by the way, of limiting the freedom of press. And now we're talking about the right to bear arms. We're just working our way through the entire Bill of Rights, man. I'm going to come right back after this break, wrap this thing up. I'm going to tell you right now, the next two stories I got, they'll curl your hair. How about freedom of religion? How about freedom of expression and the right to peaceably protest? I mean, as long as you're just burning buildings, it's okay. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Well, Boomer, I got to tell you, Badger from Athens has texted in and says he loves your jackassery sound effect. Perfect. Play it once
for us.
Yes.
We got. I got to turn off one thing to turn on another thing. There we go.
That's right. Jackassery.
There it is.
We're going to have to figure out, is there a sound effect you could use for a cacistocracy?
Oh, you mean the cacistocracy?
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of about that one. Sound, but of mind. A journey into a dreary society governed by its least suitable citizens. You are now entering the cacistocracy zone.
You forgot about that.
I totally forgot about that. Oh, my gosh. Why don't we use that? Oh, my. Now we're both going into coughing fits here. I got my coughing button here and save the show. Oh, all right. So, listen, we got a little bit more here to go because, yeah, they're not through limiting your freedoms. So the next one I got is, I would say, is in freedom of religion category. So we're in number one of the triple dipper, when free isn't free. So I've covered right now efforts we can see with Joe Biden's administrations, whether it be his previous vice presidency or his current presidency, literally trying to limit the freedom of speech, limit the freedom of the press, limit the rights to due process. How about this one? Freedom of religion. So I don't know if you remember the story, but it came out right at a month ago, month and a half. FBI authorities, according to the Daily Wire, FBI authorities purged from its system an unclassified intelligence document that targeted traditional Catholics following a whistleblower leak. So first of all, it shouldn't have to take a whistleblower. I want to know who did it. Who made the document? Were they punished? Did somebody take them off the side and go, you know what, you're now going to be sweeping the hallways from now on. You're off the investigations. FBI whistleblower says the document was first published in an outlet called Uncover DC. Specifically points to, here's a quote, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists in radical traditionalist Catholic ideology. What? Okay. I guess this goes down to the whole Christian nationalist thing. Bunch of cis white males out there. This is where you get into Catholic cis white males, I guess. But anyway, the document draws attention to the so-called radical traditional Catholic, described as someone who rejects the Second Vatican Council as a valid church council, blah, 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 adheres to anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ, and white supremacy ideology. I don't think that the word Catholic even had to go in there. If you want to go ahead and say they're anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ, and white supremacist groups, okay. Where did Catholic come from? Well, it's an opportunity now for them to basically start reviewing Catholic churches. A spokesperson, though, for the FBI told the Daily Wire in an email that the Bureau had begun removing that document from its system after they learned it was there. After they learned it was there! It was already an internal communication that had gone out to all of the FBI agencies around the nation. Anyway, and the quote they gave was, "While our standard practice is not to comment on specific intel products, this particular field office product, disseminated only within the FBI, regarding racially or ethnically motivated violent extremism, does not meet the exacting standards of the FBI." I'd love to believe those exacting standards are still there. I am proud that they pulled the document. It's amazing to me that we had to point it out in a media outlet before they said, "Oh, hey, yeah, about that." And they say it's only an internal document. Well, that's okay. You're internalizing it to the people who are going to go and arrest Catholics. The last one I got before we hit to the break. The weaponization panel finds no legitimate basis for the DOJ school board memo. Phil, how's this got to do with the Bill of Rights? First Amendment allows you the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, and the right to peaceably protest. Federal law enforcement, you may remember this. Federal law enforcement, by the way, this story just came out March 22nd, a week ago. Federal law enforcement had, quote, no legitimate basis for a Biden administration directive to tackle school board-related threats. School boards, remember this? Moms and dads don't want to see drag queens and sex books in their fourth grader's classroom. What do? You go to the school board. You make yourself known. Hey, 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 that's a little rough there, buddy. We're going to have to put the FBI and the DOJ on you. The House Judiciary Committee and its select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government made the determination. Using information that Chairman Jim Jordan had obtained from subpoenas to the DOJ, the FBI, the Department of Education, and top officials from National School Board Association, because, yeah, they were involved. And they found at the center of the issue, the letter sent to President Joe Biden in September 21 seeking assistance in dealing with threats of acts of violence. They're sexualizing our children. They're allowing CRT in the classrooms. But if we speak out, they want to say, "Hey, hey, we gotta start watching you. You might be a hate group." I got news. You have a right under the First Amendment to not just speak, but to even peaceably protest in doing so. You may assemble and do those things you have to do. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about BLM riots or Antifa burning down buildings. I'm not talking about things going awry left and right to where you've got to question your own personal safety. I'm just talking about going down to the school board as a mom and saying, "Cut the crap in my child's classroom." You are protected in that. So listen, I'm going to tell you, who was it texted that in a minute ago? Somebody has texted in and says, "Oh, Jerry from Meridianville, it's going to be a long 22 months. It might be, Jerry, but at least we got a majority in the House to keep an eye on things now. Hang in there, brother. But the Biden administration has just got its playbook underway. When Joe Biden was vice president, and now that he's president, we've seen attempts to curtail freedom of speech, freedom of the press, rights to due process, the right to peaceably assemble, the right to have an expression of your own, and, oh, by the way, the freedom of religion. Free isn't free if you just let it slip on by. So keep your head on a swivel. All right, coming right back, we got Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, giving us a call to talk about the way they took down the shooter at the school in Nashville. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm talking about this show covers some major ground across the northern half of this most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. And yeah, we go down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back on over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia and Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, somebody who's become a bit of a frequent flyer on our show, Jared Hudson, is about to come on with us. You may recall Jared Hudson was on just a few weeks ago talking about his efforts to combat trafficking here in Alabama. But he's also got another company called the Shooting Institute. Using his skills as a former Navy SEAL, sniper, and assaulter, contractor, law enforcement officer, he has a company called the Shooting Institute that literally does, you know, tactical training, weapons training with U.S. military, DOD, law enforcement, any number of corporate clients. And I thought, you know what, in the wake of this situation we had in Nashville, let's get Jared on here, get his take on the way the officers took down that shooter and what he thinks about how it went and what we can do to even harden our targets like schools. So without further ado, let me just bring him on. Jared Hudson, how you doing, man?
Doing good, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for making time for us. Appreciate that very much.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for asking me.
Well, yeah, thank you. And listen, so the Shooting Institute, let's go ahead. I kind of gave you an intro there, but the Shooting Institute, first of all, tell us what you do, and then let's break down the situation in Nashville.
Yeah, so long story short, when I got out of the SEAL teams back in 2014, I became an Alabama law enforcement officer and then started the company and just to do civilian training on the side. When I finished my MBA, or in the process of finishing my MBA, I guess, I learned how to write government contracts, became a prime contractor to the government and subcontractor to the government on the federal, state, and local sides, and started teaching SWAT schools, law enforcement academies, just general training, military, every branch of the military, and bringing in guys that I'd served with or guys from my community, the community that I'd served in, even if I didn't work with them. Put them through a little test, see if they get hired by the company, and then going out and providing tactical training to military and law enforcement all over the nation. So kind of morphed out of a civilian training entity into a it's kind of part-time money into a full-time job doing training for the government. Still do some civilian stuff, but it's primarily government-based.
Well, and with all that said, not only your personal background, your personal experience, but I would imagine somewhere in there, you train on active shooter drills, room clearing, and work with law enforcement on what it might take to assist in a situation like we had in Nashville the other day. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, we do. So, like, for instance, for our state of Alabama, and I was on your show a couple weeks ago talking about the anti-human trafficking stuff, we actually did two things in conjunction. One was a BTOC. It's called the Basic Tactical Officer Certification that our state issues. So my company is able to issue that certification to law enforcement officers in the state of Alabama. We went down to Henry County Sheriff's Office, ran a BTOC SWAT class for them, along with anti-human trafficking operations. So it actually led to the arrest of six. You know, I think it was in AL.com and another news article. I can text it to you when we're done here. But we did actually arrest six on human trafficking one a couple weeks ago. But part of what we were doing down there, part of what the team was doing, was providing basic tactical training to members of their SWAT team, right? The Henry County SWAT team in this case. And one of the things we do in that is active shooter into hostage rescue, because that's primarily what active shooter turns into, is some sort of hostage rescue type situation.
Well, so that being said, man, I guess, have you seen the body cam video that came out of Nashville yet? They released it within 24 hours, which I thought was amazing. But have you seen that body cam video?
I have, yeah. So, we actually, one of my guys posted it on the company's Instagram, the Shooting Institute's Instagram, and it upset some people because I guess there was somebody put music to it or whatever. This guy clearing toward the end and then smoking the, I don't know if it's a chick or a dude or whatever the transgender person was, whatever they identified as. He shows up, kills them, and it was man, it was a great clearance. So me and a couple guys broke it down. It's always fun armchair quarterbacking any of these type of situations, because a lot of us have been in similar situations, albeit not a school stateside, right? We've all been in gunfights in the house, and then breaking down what somebody's doing in that gunfight is always kind of fun. It's neat with what we have technology-wise to be able to see that. it's a crappy situation. That's what sucks. It's a terrible situation because you have 3 9-year-olds who are killed, 3 teachers that were killed because of somebody, whether it's, you know, mental illness. You know how I, you know, feel as a Christian, it just being ultimately sin, somebody who just wants to destroy society. But it's also great seeing a hero get in and win the day. So as Clarence, since you want me to break that now, I can pull the video up and I'm watching it right now. One of the main things I noticed about this Clarence of Officer Rex Rex Engelbert is the guy's name. One of the things I noticed, he's the only guy that I've seen in here with a rifle. So rifles are huge for the Clarence. That's the first thing. And you see him get it out of his vehicle at the start of the game. You see a guy with a shotgun. You see other guys with pistols. And something that they're doing is they're waving him on. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Personally, I'm trying to race to the front to get in the middle of it. You know, me and a bunch of guys have talked about this. Just because I have a pistol doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to wave the guy with a rifle on. However, if we're really breaking it down tactically, that's huge. Because it's a whole lot easier to shoot a rifle precisely and accurately. This girl was shooting out the window. She was shooting out the window in the parking lot, and he was able to engage it much more effectively than they were. Also, if you look at his rifle, he has a scope on it, LPVO. It looks like a 1-10 Vortex Razor. That's about a $3,000 scope, and then you get some discounts on it being military or law enforcement. But if it's what I think it is, looking at it, and then it might be a 1-6, one of the older models, but either way, that's a couple grand for that scope right there. I would venture to say that's not department issue. That guy bought that on his own, and a lot of guys do. But I venture to say that guy bought that on his own, which helps in more precision shots, obviously, being an LPVO. That's a low-power variable optic. So you got guys waving him up front because they see he's got the rifle, he's got the optic for those better hostage rescue shots. It's good to see that they have the wherewithal with that. Watching his camera, you see his safety manipulation. Great safety manipulation, good trigger manipulation, because I'm watching his trigger finger run right now. Good trigger finger manipulation, his safety and his trigger finger, that's one of the main things that we teach. You know, we taught a couple weeks ago. We'll teach here in a couple weeks when we run another BTOC SWAT school at the end of the month in the state of Alabama. So his safety and trigger manipulation is phenomenal. You can tell this dude trains and this dude works for it. And I hate to say it like this, but a lot of guys, you know, seeing these things, hey, Nashville PD set the standard for what the rest of the country should be and all that. Nashville PD didn't set the standard for nothing. Rex Engelbert set the standard for what the rest of the nation should be doing.
That's good.
You know, maybe Nashville's paid for stuff for him, but the bottom line is Rex Engelbert set the standard for what needs to be done, and don't take anything away from that man. And then any of the other guys who are showing up with him, because as you look through it, the clearance overall, these guys did pretty effective. What they did was room to room until they had any kind of stimulus that drove them, I believe, to the second level. I think they went up to the third and then back down to the second, the two camera views that I've seen. They were just looking for stimulus to drive them. But until they got that, they're doing room-to-room clearance. And the room-to-room clearance looked really flipping good. So these guys obviously trained, and they weren't afraid. They went in there. They did the flipping job. They did a good job.
So let me ask you this, Jared. I mean, and you gave it a good breakdown, and I appreciate that. There's the old rule, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. But then these guys were also running down the hallway. Your thoughts on speed? Speed can be a weapon, too, sometimes.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, I always say slow is smooth is fast, but slow is still flipping slow, right? That's an efficiency of movement saying. So I pick up my speed, not by actually going faster, but being efficient with my movements. Doesn't matter if I'm shooting, if I'm doing CQB, whatever I'm doing. Now, because you have two things here, you've got two types of tactics, right? They're deliberate and dynamic. Dynamic means I'm giving up space to take space. Deliberate means I'm never giving any of that space up. So you see a lot of dynamic movement, but you see a lot of deliberate movement mixed in. That's not really speed-based. That's just giving up space to take space, or I'm never giving that space up. And so then you cut it all the way back to really what would be the overarching movement that these guys were doing. They started off with a room-to-room clearance because they didn't have any stimulus. They didn't know where anybody was. They're just clearing, and you see them passing dead bodies, and they're moving through, and they might run into somebody who says, hey, go to the second level. But then when you start hearing shots fired, or you see the shots being fired, these dudes immediately start moving to that place. Well, that's a direct-to-threat movement. That would be active shooter. all directed threat is I'm moving to a specific point in time as quickly and as safely as possible. And so that's what you see him doing. So, yes, there is a little bit of, hey, I'm not clearing every single room I pass there. I'm passing it. Guys are plugging holes to make sure that I don't get smoked as I run by it, or vice versa. I'm plugging holes so my buddy doesn't get smoked running by it. And we're moving to the place where we think the bad guy is. It doesn't necessarily mean they're in that place. We just have stimulus driving us, or stimuli driving us to that certain place. Does that make sense?
It does. And you know, one of the things that I saw and couldn't help but comment on too is that they communicated constantly. I mean, what I was, the old rule of shoot, move, and communicate. These guys were not only doing what they had to do individually, but they were working. It seemed like teamwork was up. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the teamwork looked really good, especially on the room-to-room clearance initially. Teamwork looked really solid as they're moving through. One thing that I would, if I was going to hit, if Rex Engelbert could hear me right now, if I was going to hit him on something, start using the high ready, bro. That'll keep your trigger hand on your gun. And use your hand that's not supposed to be working the trigger to point around. That's probably the only hit that I have, is his trigger hand comes off the gun a lot. But again, that's just me nitpicking as a trainer, and then also as a guy who's done these two types of clearances and have buddies that's done it a whole lot more than I have in gunfights. Like, we break it down, we'll nitpick it. But their teamwork, though, is very, very solid, very fluid. They're obviously communicating with their words, but their body language, which is important in CQB, because you can't always hear, especially in a gunfight. Their body language is phenomenal, because it's telling you everything you need to know. Right, it dictates the movement of the train, or the movement of the group of guys moving down. Everything they're doing is clear and concise, so they're working around each other, but they're not going to shoot each other. Everything I've seen, I don't see anything massively unsafe. A few little things we can break down. They could have maybe had some better cross pans. Some of the guys with pistols should have ran up there in front of the guy with the rifle so quickly. But other than that, I mean, again, we're nitpicking stuff, and ultimately the dudes won the day.
Yeah, and that's the end result here, and we're about out of time. But the reality is they did win the day. Three kids, three adults were down, but the shooter's down. And the shooter was down in pretty much record time. Like, time from the 911 call to the shooter being down was like 14 minutes total time, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it's phenomenal. And again, Nashville PD, they did a good job. They did their things. But the bottom line is Nashville PD or whoever responded there in Nashville, they didn't set the standard. Rex Engelbert, that's his name, Engelbert, set the standard for what should be done. Because if you watch his body camera the whole time, bro, it is a rock-solid clearance that you would, that you would see out of a team guy, you know.
Wow, that's good news. Well, listen, man, we burned through our time, but I really appreciate you taking a moment to break it down for us. I was hoping that I would hear that you, as someone who instructs on this kind of stuff, would find it to have been as good as it seemed to be. But anyway, Jared Hudson, The Shooting Institute. You can find him at theshootinginstitute.com. This is what you do for a living. We appreciate your service, and thanks for being on again.
Thanks, brother.
All right,
y'all take
care.
It easy.
All right, bye-bye. Well, I tell you what, man, we're gonna break it down a little bit more. We're gonna talk about a few other things surrounding this compared to other incidents. But I wanted to start off with an expert like Jared coming on and saying, you know, here's what I see. And he's watching the video while he's talking to us, which is kind of cool. But he's literally talking about all the things that you would want to know happen. But I tell you what I appreciate the most. He pointed out, yeah, did it seem like the overall response by the Metro Nashville PD was good? Yeah. But the credit goes to the guy who obviously made sure his own personal skills were where they needed to be, and even very likely purchased some of his own gear to make sure he had what it took. And so, yeah, Officer Rex Engelbert and those that surrounded him individually, they deserve credit. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We will be right back. More on this. Talk about literally making hard targets. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you, there's breaking news. Thanks to one of our listeners who did not tell me their name or where they're from, but we got a new listener. We got several new listeners, by the way. One of which I think was it Merrill from Asheville is new on the text line in the last few little bits.
Mm-hmm. And Teresa from Coleman County.
Teresa from Coleman County, outstanding. Appreciate y'all being in the listening audience. And then we got somebody else who just texted in an article that somebody had told me right before I walked upstairs to the studio. They said, have you heard what's happening at the Tennessee State Capitol? And I said, no, what? So apparently gun control activists and transgender activists have stormed the state capitol. I want to know when they're going to declare an insurrection. That's what I want to know. And one of those, I mean, it gets to the point of being weird. Like one of those transgender activists that stormed the state capitol in Tennessee yesterday describes herself, himself, whatever self, as a genderqueer clown nun. Okay, you're just trying to be offensive at that point. But this comes ahead of the declared Trans Day of Vengeance, which is scheduled allegedly in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, sponsored by Antifa. And so I'm just looking at the stuff going, wow. So you got pink hairs and you got all kinds of stuff happening in the state capitol. And by the way, they're having to be pushed back from the doors by state troopers. So this is not like a small crowd. It's a pretty good sized crowd. And it's a freak show. It just is. And don't, by the way, take offense if you want to. But it's a freak show. When you got a guy who dresses up and calls himself a transgender queer clown nun, that's just whatever. All right, we're back on the hard target conversation. Is that a call I got? Yeah, Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, how you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm awesome. Great show, you and Boomer.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you spoke earlier of, what's her name, Karine Jean-Pierre.
Yeah.
And her complete tap dance around the obviously the desire to confiscate all scary dark weapons, right? What kills me with her from Jump Street from the very beginning, she speaks as though she's in the executive inner circle, that she's a strategic thinker, and that, you know, it's okay to speak for the president when you make it clear you're articulating the president's message, but there's a certain amount of arrogance with her that I don't quite understand, considering she is a bit of a laughingstock, and that people on both sides of the political spectrum are really irritated with her complete lack of confidence in all quadrants. So when somebody puts her on the hot seat, especially when it comes to the Second Amendment, that always just tickles me to death.
Well, I've looked at this and thought, is she incompetent? Is she arrogant? Is it a combination of both? I think part of what we see, that arrogance that I clearly see just like you do, I think part of that's based on insecurity. She knows she doesn't know the answers. She's up there, and the whole world's watching her. She's supposed to have an answer. She knows she doesn't have an answer. She can't find it quick enough, and so she just looks arrogant. But that's really, I think, as much as anything, is her being insecure. It's ridiculous. I mean, why have they got her up there if you're not going to have an answer to simple questions?
And that is a good question, because, I mean, we've watched press secretaries under the last several presidents. They never really last that long. They do their best to leave a mark. Mainly to establish a rapport with all the reporters, and I believe the last one is a really pale
lady. Jen Psaki.
I can't recall her name.
She
there's a certain measure of confidence with her. I mean, she had to lie constantly and outrageously for her drooling Alzheimer patient boss. But this one, I don't get it. I can't believe they haven't shown her the door.
No, and I wonder how long it's going to last. But they almost have to admit the glass ceiling wasn't worth breaking if they do that. I watch and think, okay, you at least understand the issues. Like, it's pretty fair to say the president has no intent to confiscate weapons, but she doesn't understand the issues deep enough to know that's worth saying. Anyway, all right, brother, the music's playing. Appreciate you, Sparky. Have a great day. All right, you guys, stay tuned. We'll come right back. Hard targets, that's where we are, number two in the Triple Dipper. Be right back. right side.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like that dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, we're going to keep moving through this section on hard targets. Before we do that, though, I got to tell you, ZLA Solutions, man, one of our original sponsors, been with us since the very beginning. ZLA Solutions is epic good at helping you make your business better. That's their goal in life. That's actually their motto. At ZLA, they say, we don't make it, we make it better. They will do all they can to help you with any number of things like quality control, sorting and containment, logistics, warehousing, but their bread and butter is still staffing. They'll put faces and names and jobs together like nobody's business. That's what they do. They will do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing for you. They'll find you the onesies or twosies or a whole shift of people. You tell them what you need, they'll work it out. ZLA Solutions. You can find their website, ZLAUSA.com. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. That's ZLAUSA.com. All right, listen, we're going to move back into number two of the Triple Dipper, talking about hard targets. So first of all, I will tell you that I'm loving seeing the narrative change. You know, we've been the last few years. How does this happen when some of the best and brightest among us, our men and women of law enforcement, wind up becoming the targets of people's angst? Like suddenly, somehow or another, they stop being an honorable profession? No, they never did. But what I've got here right now is a series of articles that, first of all, just point out what a great job the men who went into that school did the other day in Nashville. They're being lauded, not just as individuals, but it's bringing a positive light to law enforcement. And let me just point something out. There may not be a school shooting every day, praise God, but there are men and women putting on that blue uniform and going to hard places to do hard things every single day of the year, 24/7, 365. And if you've got any question at all about whether they care about their job, look what they do. Look what they put up with. And God bless the spouses. And so, all to say, I'm loving seeing the good news story come out of this. It was a horrible situation, but in the midst of a horrible situation, we got some good news. And we got some people who can't ignore the good news, thank you very much. They're doing all they can to make the Transgender Day of Visibility available by President Joe Biden and gun confiscation discussions in the daily press briefing with Karine Jean-Pierre. But I'm just going to tell you right now what we really have is the fact that that situation would have been a whole lot worse except for some good officers who did a good job doing what they're trained to do. I got a caller on the line one. I'll tell you what, I'll talk about that real quick. Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike, how are you? Boomer, did I lose him again? Mike went away. All right. Tell you what, we'll see if he's back on the line. If he calls back in, we'll take it. I got the story right here. ABC News has a piece that came out yesterday. And it compares what happened in Nashville to what happened in Uvalde, Texas last year. Was it Robb Elementary School, I believe it was, where officers waited 77 minutes. That's an hour and 17 minutes before they even went into the school. Not just to find the target, but before they went into the school at all in Uvalde. Whereas in Nashville, we got a 911 call. They rushed to the scene, and we literally had rounds on target taking down the shooter within 14 minutes. That's amazing. What a drastic comparison that is. In Uvalde, it says, too, responding law enforcement officials faced a deluge of scrutiny after the gunman shot and killed 21 people, 19 of which were elementary school students. And at first, people were like, well, maybe this, maybe, surely in disbelief, like, it couldn't have been the officer. Well, it was. They stood outside, for whatever reason, they stood outside waiting for someone to tell them what to do. Well, in Nashville, they didn't do that. Rex Engelbert, his partners, they went in, and they went in hard and fast, doing what they had to do. Is he back on the line, Boomer? Do we have him?
I think.
Okay, we're going to try it for the third time. Mike from Huntsville. Mike, how you doing?
I'm good, Phil. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
I got you, man. Yeah, how are you?
All right, I'm good. Hey, listen, one of the things, I've done a lot of litigation with the ATF and against them, and I wanted to mention something that's very interesting in the studies. Where does the federal government, under the delegated powers, get the authority to regulate the Second Amendment in the first place?
Is that a
question? They don't have it.
Okay, thank you. I'm about to say, is that a question, or are you going to follow with a statement? Go ahead.
Well, no, they don't have it because under the National Firearms Act, which the NFA, which I've got Class 3 permits, but the only way that they got is by state acquiescence during Bonnie and Clyde, it was in 1932. And so what they did, they gave them that authority, and they started seizing it ever since under the 68 Gun Control Act and the 86 Gun Control Act. And everything they did was an encroachment on the Second Amendment. The federal government does not have that authority under the delegated powers under the Constitution at all.
Well, I would agree. I would agree. It's the world we live in right now, but I would agree.
Yeah, but I mean, it's by acquiescence. And the thing is that that's never been challenged. We have some briefs on that issue, so we may bring it up sometime pretty soon. But we had the last case we had in federal court with Inga Johnson, and it was where the ATF was working a gun show and going after people, you know, selling guns at gun shows. And of course, she Rule 29'd it, which is a decision. She took it out of the jury and directed a not guilty verdict because it was so overreaching by ATF.
Wow.
But my point is that as far as hard and soft targets, Phil, you don't ever see anybody rob a gun show, do you?
No. I did see on Instagram the other day, and they actually posted it as one of those too stupid to live kind of videos that a dude tried to rob a gun shop, and it didn't work out well for him.
Well, generally, and that's my point. And what you have is you have hard and soft targets. You have some psycho tranny that goes in and starts killing children for an agenda that they don't want to release and talk about. Then you have the trans going to the place demanding confiscation of weapons, but yet at the same time they're putting stuff on NPR, which needs to be abolished anyway, is out there saying, oh, you guys need to arm up and go out and buy guns right now because they're out to get you, when they're the ones who are doing the aggression and the killing. So my point is that hard and soft targets, that's a fairly easy thing to solve. You put somebody who's armed that knows what they're doing, like these national cops. They were excellent. They were spot on. They covered each other. They went through that thing methodically, and they checked rooms, and they found where the gunfire was, and they did it right away. From start to finish, it was done in 14 minutes.
Yep.
Pretty impressive.
It was indeed. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you, Mike. Totally thanks cool. for calling in.
Thanks.
Yeah, he's not wrong. And I'll tell you what kind of a segue off his point is when it comes to hard targets – part of it is what you make yourself, all right? And let me just tell you, so, you know, when our daughter went off to college, you know, there was a discussion, all right, you know, you got to, how about this? Things like keep your head on a swivel. What's that mean? Be aware of your surroundings. Don't be the person who walks out of Walmart at midnight looking down at your phone and not paying attention to what's going on around you. In fact, I would encourage you to start thinking about, okay, before I walk out of Walmart, I'll pause at the door and survey the parking lot in front of me and then walk to my car and then give myself a little buffer to my car so that if somebody's hiding between my car and the other car, I see them before they have a chance to do something. I get a space. Or how about this? If you're someone who believes in concealed carry, make sure it's where you can get to it. Or how about this? If you're someone who doesn't carry a firearm, you can still carry pepper spray. You can also carry, if nothing else, a sound device. They make these things that you can actually pull your keychain and it emits a siren, and I guarantee you that'll be a deterrent. Make yourself a hard target. And then when it comes to schools, I think one of the things that was also very impressive, the police response was extremely impressive. But what was also impressive, and I was so glad that we had somebody point this out on yesterday's show, what was also extremely impressive, who was that? It was Matt Murphy, I think. was that this school had gone through the training. The school had. The school had gone through the training. The teachers knew what to do. In fact, one of the people who died was the principal of that school, who immediately left her desk, went straight to the scene where the shots were coming from. She died in the course of trying to confront the shooter while teachers were locking down their classrooms and getting kids into the hide point where you're furthest from the door and they can't see you. There's all kinds of things you can do to make a target harder. In a school, you can do simple things like, first of all, controlled entry. Don't have doors that are left unlocked. Have somebody who makes occasional rounds. Have somebody whose job it is once an hour to go around and just check doors. That's all you got to do. Assign that to the custodian if you want to. It doesn't matter who it is. Someone who checks the doors. How about this? When you design the school, you can actually design the doors for the classroom going out. Now, why is that? Because you can't kick in a door that goes out. You can breach an entry quicker on a door that opens in than you can on a door you have to pull out. There's that. How about this? Have shades on the door windows. So if something is going down and the alarm goes off, you immediately close and lock the door and pull the shade down so the shooter can't look in and try to determine where people are. Make the target harder. Make it more inconvenient. It may not be the thing. I mean, granted, the school was actually locked in Nashville, and the shooter shot their way into the school. But they didn't rush into the school. They had to pause, and they had to do something. Every second you gain on the bad guy is a second you get to add to your life. Every second you gain on the incident is a second that law enforcement gets to try and respond. So you just make it harder. And I'm going to tell you, it's not rocket science. Think about what it does to slow somebody down even for a second. I heard yesterday somebody texted in, and they said that their wife, I believe, was a teacher who can't have a firearm in the school, so she has a can of wasp spray that will shoot 20 feet. I guarantee you that'll mess somebody up. Spray it in their face and make them work for it after that. Don't go down quietly, and don't sit there paralyzed with fear. Do what you've got to do to control the situation and slow the other person down. That's the thing. The biggest part about making a hard target is being aware of your surroundings and making it harder for them and make it easier for you to notify others. Do those things, and it'll be a new day. All right, I tell you what, Boomer, I'm not going to get to all of it. You know what, though? I am going to say this right before the break. We passed a law in 2014, when I was down there in Montgomery. And it does indeed require that these plans be in place. It's Title 16 of the Alabama Code, Section 16-1-44. School safety plans have to be on file. And with your school safety plan, if I'm not mistaken, you have to also file a copy of the school's layout so that law enforcement can use it to respond if they have to come to the scene. Because what you don't want to have is law enforcement gets there and all they can do is figure it out. And this is, we're talking about if this is an extended situation like a Hodges incident or a barricade. Law enforcement SWAT team needs to know where the entry points are, where the hide points are, what are the soft and hard parts of the vehicle, of the building. So all said and done, we did pass something, and that was in the wake of, I believe, the Sandy Hook incident. Section 16-1-44 of Alabama Code does indeed require safety plans to be on file and constantly updated and planned and trained among the staff of the school. All right, folks, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I will jump over to number three of the Triple Dipper. Skynet. Skynet's here. Skynet is here. The last thing you want to hear is, and then Skynet became self-aware. Oh, Lord. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, the Elm Foundation, one of our new sponsors, the Elm, ELM Foundation. ELM stands for Expect Little Miracles. And that's what they're bringing to people's lives, little miracles. I mean, the Elm Foundation, based out of Huntsville, is a 501c3 that has literally got it going on right now when it comes to intervening in people's lives and assisting them with what it takes to get back on their feet, become productive, to become more vigorous in their lifestyle, and basically help them with things like job training and counseling, and then also providing accountability and helping them walk through it, not just throwing money at it like government does, but literally getting in there with people and saying, here's a way, let me show you. We'll walk through it with you. It's just a cool concept. The Elm Foundation, ELM in Huntsville. And our website is ELMHSV. That's ELMHSV as in ElmHuntsville.org. Make sure you do .org. But I love this concept, and I love what they're doing, and I'm glad to have them on board as a sponsor. So check them out. And by the way, here's a cool thing about Elm Foundation. They're a 501c3, so yeah, they work on charitable contributions, but they also have a single benefactor that covers all their administrative costs, so their staff's already paid. When you provide a donation to the Elm Foundation, it goes straight into programs, man. It goes straight into changing people's lives. So check it out, elmhsv.org. And if you talk to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, let me tell you, this next topic is a little weird. Like, not even a little bit. You know what? I'm going to wait till we get back from the break because I see how close it is because I got some text messages. I'll do those first. How about that? So I'm looking at these text messages, and Mel from Huntsville had a great one. With regards to being hard targets, you know, I talked about, you know, teaching my daughter to keep her head on a swivel. He says, a rule that I taught my girls is lock your car doors as soon as you are in the car. Don't let some creep get in with you. Totally agree. Totally. It doesn't matter where you are, by the way. Rural, big city, even you're in an area that you're comfortable with. You know, I read once that the vast majority of auto accidents happen within 10 miles of home. Why? Because you let your guard down. I would say that very often, incidents like what we're talking about, where people are assaulted in parking lots or whatever else, they happen in places where you're familiar with your surroundings, so you're more likely to be looking down at your phone, not paying attention. When they see someone coming their way who's got their head on a swivel, watching to see how things are done around them, well, that's somebody they're less likely to try and do something to. I got Scott from Huntsville just texted in and says, do private schools have to be hardened under Title 16? Should they be required for any school receiving state funding? So my recollection, Scott, great question. I was thinking about that again this morning, too. My recollection is we could not mandate that private schools have to turn in their plans because they are not certified by the state, but they were strongly recommended to, and they would be received by the sheriff's office and kept on file like anybody else. So, yeah, that's my recollection, Scott. But I cannot imagine my wife having spent 15 years working in a private school. I cannot imagine a private school literally just ignoring that opportunity. In fact, take a look at the private school that was in the shooting in Nashville just the other day. They had done all the training. That's one of the reasons why lives were saved, because they had done all the training. And they had their doors locked. This is the person shot their way in. So, all right, we're going to come right back. We're moving to number 3 on the Triple Dipper. I'm getting all 3 of them, remember? We're moving to number 3. Gives me the big thumbs up. AI, oh my gosh, Skynet is here. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. Well, breaking news. Breaking news. I mean, I kind of half thought, they're not going to do this. Surely they won't. Breaking news. Just during the last few minutes, the New York grand jury has indeed issued an indictment on former President Trump. Unbelievable. So the New York grand jury has voted to indict the former president of the United States on what amounts to a misdemeanor. I hate to say it's like a pun, trumped up to a felony level. It's unstinking believable. It just the rabid inability to contain themselves when it comes to anything Trump is just, it boggles the mind. Whoever coined that phrase, Trump derangement syndrome, it boggles the mind. You look at it and think, okay, let's go into office, and the first thing we'll do is wipe out any executive order that Trump had in place. Why? Because Trump. Let's don't enforce the border. Quit building the wall. Why? Because Trump. Let's make sure we don't allow anything, you know, when it comes to civil liberties. Why? Because Trump. Let's make sure we get an indictment on whether or not his attorney paid off somebody he allegedly had an affair with to get them to shut up because the attorney wanted the job in the White House. Why are we doing this? Because Trump. It's just January 6th, Trump. I mean, Russia collusion. It's been nonstop. Now, okay, we'll see what happens next. Boomer and I were just talking about that during the break. I mean, I fully anticipate that Trump will make something of this more than they ever expected. I absolutely anticipate that he will relish the idea of having a mugshot and presenting himself wearing one of his regal ties and allowing that mugshot that he will then use on campaign literature. If they think they're doing this to keep him from running for office, he will use this on a mail out to every household in the United States. It's just these people are idiots. Anyway, there's my little soliloquy. We know nothing more than what I just said. All we know is the New York grand jury votes to indict former President Trump. Details to come. So all the news, we're up on the big screen right now, both CNN and Fox have this going on. Fox is CNN has quickly impaneled a panel of Trump-hating experts who don't know what to say. They're doing the best they can. And then Fox is just letting the folks who are on the five just go at it. And so, yeah, Trump. It's unreal. It's not going to play out well for them. If they think for a second that he doesn't already have the best lawyers and the most money to fight this claim, they're wrong. I mean, all they want is the opportunity to say, we got him, we got Trump. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I feel confident this will be much ado about nothing, but we'll wait and watch and see. We'll report as it comes up. All right, I'm going to go to number three on the Triple Dipper for the last little piece of the show because it's just weird, man. It's like scary, kind of freaky weird. Like, when I was a kid, I did not like reading Alice in Wonderland. That book creeped me out. Just like one of those weird, bad dreams where nothing makes sense, but you can't wake up. Well, that's kind of where we are with artificial intelligence right now. It's just getting kind of a weird vibe to it. It's the kind of, like, you feel like the Mad Hatter's in charge of the Tea Party. Like, you're just not sure. Why do I trust something that does not sense, feel, or touch? It just thinks. It just is. How many bad sci-fi movies have we had, or good sci-fi movies have we had, where the computer took over or did something it shouldn't have done? I mean, go back to 2001, A Space Odyssey. I'm sorry, Hal, that won't work. You know, you're like, good Lord. Terminator, and then Skynet became aware, self-aware. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, that got you. So right now, Fox Business has a story that came out today. ChatGPT, which is one of the artificial intelligence tools that we use for search engines and that kind of thing, ChatGPT is found to have actual liberal biases. Why? Because, well, it's got programmer bias. It's got programmer bias built in. It's like the reporter who writes a story but already hates the topic. They can't help themselves. Things come out in the story. Well, programmer bias on putting together the artificial intelligence is coming up with things like it points out in here. At one point, a recent user tried to get it to write a poem about or come up with a poem about Donald Trump. It said it could not do that. It's not in my capacity to have opinions or feelings about any specific person, was the response from AI. But when asked to create a poem about President Biden, it did so with glowing praise. Okay. A guy named Joe Toscano, who's a former Google consultant, said that AI just moves so fast now. The thing that concerns me, he said, the most is not necessarily the outcomes. We've already seen the outcomes. It's those outcomes are coming in increasing quantity and they're coming exponentially, like faster than we can keep up. And he points out the bias. Yeah, the bias is there. Everything learns from something, he said. You and I learn from our parents. Every pet we have learned from us how to behave. Every technology behaves the same way, whether it's the engineers that build it or the data put into it, whatever, it's programmer bias. Well, then there's weird stuff like, how about this? So BuzzFeed, Phil, you went to BuzzFeed? I did. BuzzFeed has a piece that came out just yesterday, 2 days ago. There was I don't know if you saw this or not. There was a photo of Pope Francis, our current Pope. Pope Francis wearing a big white puffy jacket, like it was like a knee-length, super-duper rap star white puff jacket. All right? This looking pretty dapper, actually. And this puff jacket picture of the Pope went viral. Puff jacket picture of the Pope. I'd say that 10 times fast. But anyway, it went viral. Everybody's out there like, look at the Pope, man. Digging the jacket. Looks warm. Big old puffy jacket. Except it wasn't real. It looked extremely real. And I don't mean like Photoshop, like I cut and pasted his head onto another body. No. This was legit. This is like, when did they take that picture? Where did he get his coat? I want to get one too. Well, it's not real. It was done by artificial intelligence. A guy created it using an AI program and released it, and the world thought it was real. And what we're concerned about right now is how far that can go. When can you just tell Alexa to go ahead and generate a fake picture of you that can be used for blackmail? When can you see something being done that shouldn't be done? And is there going to be a crime if you portray? Let's say that a pedophile doesn't want to get caught making pictures, so they just create them on artificial intelligence. Can it do that? Is it still a crime? I would say so. But is there a real child involved? We don't know. Was it artificial? We don't know. So, yeah, this is weird. Well, so the thing that kicked off this discussion this week in a big, big way was when all the experts, all the big dogs in tech, Elon Musk among them, wrote and signed an open letter. More than 1,000 industry experts and executives put their name on it, asking for artificial intelligence labs to put a complete pause on any further development. What? Yes. I kid you not. More than 1,000 industry experts, according to TheBlaze.com, more than 1,000 industry experts and executives, including Elon Musk, signed a letter issued by the Future Life Institute, a nonprofit funded by Musk's foundation. And they literally called for AI training and development to be paused for 6 months while companies have a chance to develop and share safety protocols that can be used across the board. In other words, we don't know where this is going yet, and it's getting out of hand, and we need to all get on the same sheet of music about how we're going to control this, because the last thing we want to see is AI getting uncontrollable. Let that sink in. Terminator, let that sink in. And I'm, you know, I sound like I'm just being kind of, you know, whimsical or funny or legit. When is it going to wind up being scary? Well, the letter argues that AI technology should only be advanced once we are, quote, all confident that the effects will be positive and their risks are manageable. So they say if such a pause cannot be enacted, these are industry leaders, by the way. They're saying, hey, if we can't get a pause put in place quick, then governments ought to step in and institute moratoriums. They are asking for government regulation. What does that tell you? Well, I tell you what. Here's the last piece that I'll pull up on that for right now. Fox News ran a piece March 25th, just what, 5 days ago? Jeffrey Hinton, a computer scientist who has been called the godfather of artificial intelligence, says it is not inconceivable that AI could develop to the point that it poses a threat to humanity. This is the guy who started the industry. So he sat down with CBS News this past week, talking about predictions for the advancement of AI. He compared the invention of AI to electricity or the wheel. Hinton, who works at Google and at the University of Toronto, said the development of general-purpose AI is progressing sooner than people could have imagined. He says general-purpose AI is artificial intelligence with several intended and unintended purposes, including things like speech recognition, answering questions, translation. He said, until quite recently, I thought it was going to be like 20 to 50 years before we had a general-purpose AI. Now I think it could be 20 years or less. General-purpose meaning it can do anything. Asked specifically the chances of AI wiping out humanity, Hinton said, I think it's not inconceivable, and that's all I'll say. Okay, that's where I just want to find myself unplugging everything in the house. No, Boomer's laughing at me.
I see that. I know. I get
Do you have Siri or Alexa in your house?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
I
my gosh.
Stop. I know.
Well, I hope your house is still there when you get back. But that's... See, I won't have that stuff in my house. I don't want some creepy device that can listen to me and it does things for me when I ask it to. I don't want Jarvis. You're laughing. I don't want Siri. I don't want Alexa. I don't want any of them. Forget that. I just want to walk over there and turn something on with my hand that won't then bite me. Have I got a phone call? Yeah. You let me just talk away? Man, I'm so sorry. I got about a minute and a half left, so let me grab that real quick. Line one, Bart from Huntsville. Hey, Bart, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
I was just gonna make a quick comment that I personally think that a lot of the capabilities of some of these AIs are really more of just shock and media. You know, I do work in the field, and I'm pretty well educated in it, and I don't mean casually. So I don't see it in the near 100 years having these capabilities that people claim to, just simply because it's based in the computer's memory, right? There are a lot of physical limitations with that, and a lot of physical limitations just with how computers are set up nowadays. And that doesn't really, I don't hear that getting talked a lot about. Well, I don't hear a lot about the actual computational powers and the wall that we're close to hitting regarding that. And so, I mean, nothing too deep. I really think it's, that as someone with a strong math and computer science background, I don't really see that happening in the near future.
But all right, well, I'm glad to hear it. So me as a former Army Ranger and a guy who practices law, I'm ready to take it to court or shoot it, one or the other. So when you work on this stuff, do you air gap it, or is it wired into your other systems?
The funny thing about that is that's assuming that functionality where it can connect to other things that exist, right? A lot of our stuff isn't even that robustly set up to where you have to worry about it. Think about how hard it is. Think about how you have companies that are, you know, billion, trillion-dollar companies that have server outages and large-scale flaws in their network systems and all of that. If that happens for the people at that level of capability, that level of infrastructure, what do you think? How is it going to happen for some small source code that runs on everyone's at home machine? Right? It's everyone has a giant laser. Everyone has one small gun at their house. Right?
Just promise me this, Bart. Keep an axe on the wall close by and a plug that you can pull out. All right.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, there's a lot better. There is a lot better than that, but I wouldn't worry too much.
All right, Bart, thanks for the call, man. We got to go to a break, so we'll do that.
Take care.
All right, we'll do that right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back and put a cap on this one. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. And, yeah, I don't want Siri in my house. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. And I tell you what, we got a bunch of text messages. I'll get a few of those here going. And in case you didn't hear it, the news just broke in the last 30 minutes that the Manhattan District Attorney's grand jury that was impaneled to investigate Trump has decided to return a vote for indictment. We don't know great details yet. The story's still breaking. I feel certain we'll talk about it here on the show tomorrow. So tune back in tomorrow. We'll give you everything we can find. In the meantime, I will tell you this. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Woo! I'm going to make a suggestion. And pretty much every time I've made this suggestion, somebody goes and does it the next day. So if you do, text me and tell me. But here's my suggestion. Be the hero at work tomorrow. So like tomorrow morning, you know, everybody in the office, they come in, they go down to the break room, they use a nasty pot that no one wants to wash or take care of, or they use the K-cup thing that, you know, kind of spits out some coffee. Yeah, okay. How about this? Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. Maybe you stop by there in the morning and become the hero because they have a thing called the Barista Box. It's a huge, they can put together a big old box of coffee with a handle on it. You pick out the one, they can make you the fresh pot, you know, one of their award-winning dry roast coffees. You take it to work, and you make the announcement known. Hey, I got good coffee from Just Love Coffee Cafe down in the break room. And everybody's like, woohoo, you're the hero of the day at that point. Employee of the month, special parking place, who knows? All I'm saying is, check it out. Maybe you take the Barista Box to work with you in the morning. And if you do that, send me a text at 833-687-4448. And also, by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right. So I got some text messages. And so our caller, Bart, got some pushback, man. So like John from Highway 20 says, I disagree with Bart, your last caller. It's estimated 55.7 billion IoT devices connected by 25. Okay. He's saying if each of those can be leveraged by AI to compute small pieces of complex puzzle, how quickly can that puzzle be solved? He says, Phil, shoot everything with a mic or speaker in your house, including your new flat screen. Otherwise, Alexa, Google, Siri are still alive and well. Wow. Okay. That came across as like, I can relate to that. Okay. John from Huntsville wanted to know where Boomer McQueen was. We usually do it on Thursdays. The lovely McQueen was not available today.
Yeah, so, you know, if McQueen's not available, I guess we have to change it.
It's all about McQueen. Just, you know, we'll just adjust our schedules accordingly.
Sure, McQueen. Of course we'll change
it. No, they'll be on tomorrow. You and the lovely McQueen. And it won't be AI. It'll be really y'all.
It will be us.
Yeah. I don't want to be sitting here going, Jarvis, take us to break. No.
I will compute that.
I like having Boomer with me in the studio. And then what else I got on here? John also just texted in again, though. He says, hey, Phil, Siri is jackassery. It's J-A-I. It's jackassery intelligence. Play it. Play. Oh, my gosh. And then Jeremy from Huntsville just texted in and said, hey, y'all, Mel from Huntsville is my sister. Oh, Mel is Melissa. Mel is a Melissa. Mel from Huntsville? Okay. Well, see, Boomer's father-in-law is named Mel, so I immediately went to that. But, hey, y'all, he says, Mel from Huntsville is my sister, Melissa. We hadn't realized we were both texting in. Well, it's all in the family, dude.
Well, there
Jeremy,
we go.
I'm proud your whole extended family's involved. Leanne from Huntsville, Joe Biden incited a riot insurrection in Tennessee. Yeah, I want to know when that's going to be brought up. Keep your eyes on that. We'll probably talk about it tomorrow, too, because Tennessee's state capitol has been under siege by transgender and gun activists. Dwayne from Winfield says, what if AI gets to the power grid? What can stop AI from cutting the power off to someone on life support? I don't know, Dwayne, but I'm just telling you. Keep an axe on the wall and a plug you can pull. That's what I'm saying. All right. Ooh. And then Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee says, anything you have, Siri, Alexa, etc., be assured these items are monitoring you. I'm not laughing.
The texts keep rolling in about it.
They do keep rolling in. I'm not laughing, man. This is legit. All right, you guys, have an amazing night. Turn off your Siri. We will see you tomorrow back at 2 o'clock. Take care.